Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Ready to step out of the fog of confusion and into a deeper connection with spirit? Karen Hager's ready to light up your day with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, light workers, spiritual visionaries, and more. Whether she's interviewing someone well-known or unknown, Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity keeps the atmosphere positive and generous. Now here's the host of Out of the Fog, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear and into love. And I am glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy. And that means that no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you are here for a reason. And I hope something you hear in the next hour shines a light for you and helps you move forward. Now, all of us will die one day. But for many of us, thinking about, planning for, educating ourselves about our options at the end of our life is something that we avoid. It's scary, it's painful, and maybe if we don't think about it, it'll go away, right? Well, my guest on today's show is author and healer Donna Corso. In her new book, When the Wind Chimes Chime, she shares the story of a young boy's battle with terminal cancer and his family's journey to acceptance and advocacy as a result. She shares that story to help us end our fear of death and to open us up to learn about end-of-life dignity and the empowering choices that we can make. I will introduce you to Donna in just a moment, but first, I want to brag for a minute. I want to share with you something very special about this show. Out of the Fog has won the first ever Co-Creation Sector Award for Media, and that's awarded by Conscious Evolutionary Chicagoland. And tonight, in Chicago, that award will be presented by Barbara Marx Hubbard, who created the Foundation for Conscious Evolution. I cannot begin to say how proud I am, how grateful, how honored, just pleased as I could possibly be. My deepest gratitude to them and to all of you. You know, it's because you're listening to the show that it keeps growing, that it keeps reaching more people, that we can spread even more light in the world. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Now, would you head over to fogcitypsychic.com and click on everything? Today's the last day to enter to win a free seat in the healing class that begins on Monday, August 12th. That class is Summer of Love, Healing Ourselves, Healing Our Relationships, and Healing the World. It's a three-part class in which I'm going to share practical, intuitive tools to help you identify and start to release blocks and painful patterns in a way that then opens us up to healing on all levels of our energy. The giveaway link is right there at fogcitypsychic.com, right on the homepage. It's not going to be there for long today because I'm picking a winner tonight. And details about the class are at fogcitypsychic.com/healing. And as always, if you're looking for compassionate, no-nonsense intuitive guidance, fogcitypsychic.com is where you can find out more about what to expect when we work together. If you are so inclined, I would love to set up a private session with you. And now, as a spiritual explorer for nearly 50 years, Donna Corso believes that life is a continuum, having no beginning and no end. Life simply is. She inspires people to heal and to release their fear of dying, to embrace life more fully while in this physical world, and to move forward gracefully into the spiritual realm at the time of their soul's choosing. Donna Corso is a certified hypnotherapist and an ordained non-denominational minister. She lives in Ashland, Oregon, where she's been personal assistant to author Neil Donald Walsh since 2001. You can find out more about Donna and her work at donnacorso.com. Donna, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you, Karen, and congratulations on your award.
Thank
That's
you
cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I was sharing off the air that the last time I won something, I think I was in seventh grade and I won a baseball glove. So it's been a long time since seventh grade.
This sounds a whole lot more exciting than a baseball glove. So I'm glad for you.
Well, what is it that led you to create this book? What is it that brought these issues to your attention? What inspired you?
Well, I guess I've always had the idea, even when I was a little kid, my parents would take me to wakes or funerals, and I remember thinking one time in a funeral home, and I saw people standing around, I remember thinking, I think death would be the most exciting part of life. Because back in those days, I just had this idea that we just went to heaven and everything was wonderful. And maybe it's true, I don't know. But I always thought, I never understood why we are so mournful. I mean, we grieve that we're not going to see someone again, of course. But we seem to have just a kind of an out-of-balance idea about death and dying. So I always had that idea when I was growing up, and I knew that I was going to write a book someday. It was probably about 40 or so years ago, one of my very first authors in metaphysical books that was my favorite. She changed my life, and that was Ruth Montgomery. Do you know who that was?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah. I had read all of her books back in my 20s and 30s. And all of her books seem to end in these prognostications about what would be happening around these times that we're living in right now. Earth changes, you know, people dying all around us. And I remember writing her a letter and telling her how much I enjoyed her books and telling her that I wasn't afraid of these coming times. I thought they sounded like it would be an exciting time to be here. And one day I opened my mailbox and there was a little envelope with a little handwritten note on a half sheet of paper, lined tablet paper, and it was from Ruth Montgomery.
Wow.
And she said, yeah, I know. And she said, I believe one of the things she says on there was, I believe that you will be one of the people that will be here during those times and that you will be helping people to die without fear. Now, that's a phrase that I've held in my heart all these years, and to die, help people die without fear. I didn't really know what that meant. I still maybe really don't know all of it. But I was at a meeting just about 3 or 4 years ago, and a young man stood up and told the story of his little boy who had died. And as soon as I heard that story, I just knew it was a story that needed to be told, and I knew that I was supposed to write the book. And so I did.
The first part of the book focuses on the story of Andreas and his family. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, I cried as I was reading it. It's told in a very moving way. What is it about his story? I mean, you tell about everything the family goes through and it's just wrenching to read. Why is it so important to start your book with this very personal, intimate look into their lives?
Well, I wanted to get people's attention and really let them know that sometimes not everyone has real choices about how they die, and especially children, because according to the law, let me back up a bit, whenever Andreas was diagnosed with his bone cancer, osteosarcoma, his father put his business totally on the back burner and did research online 24/7. And discovered that the law in all except 4 states are that if your child is under 16, whatever the doctor says, you have to go along with. You can't really explore alternatives. You have to go along with whatever the doctor says. So Andreas's story, of course, when he focuses around his bone cancer and the fact that they did extensive x-rays over and over and over again. Instead of accepting the x-rays they already had, they kept creating more and more x-rays and MRIs and tests of all kinds. And the doctor one day said, what we're going to do is, the cancer was in his upper arm, the doctor said, what we're going to do is amputate his arm, part of his lungs, part of his ribs, give him chemo, and give him radiation. Oh. Now, by this time, the MRI had already shown that the cancer had already metastasized into other bone tissue, not just a little bit in the arm, but into his lungs, into other bone tissue. So that meant it was really in his bloodstream, is my understanding. And Gordy is Andreas's father. Gordy had done so much research, and he found about 300 other children through his forums that he was on, cancer forums, he found about 300 other children who had had similar situations and their parents went along with the doctor's orders, and every single one of them, 100% of them, died anyway. Mm-hmm. But they died a horrible death. And so knowing that, whenever the doctor said, this is what we're going to do, and knowing that there was not even a 1% chance that Andreas was going to survive, Gordy and his wife Joey said to the doctor, isn't there some alternative? We don't want to put him through that. And as soon as they used that word, the dreaded A word, I call it, alternative, the doctor said, if you try anything like that, I will personally have Child Protective Services on your doorstep. We will take him, make him ward of the state, and we will do this. And so, you know, people have to understand, hopefully their child will never get sick, but before any possibility of that, they need to know ahead of time what their choices might be. And I don't know what we can do about that, because that is the law. Adults, mm-hmm. after you're 16 years old, you do have some choice, at least, to explore alternative treatments. Of course, some of those are against the law also, unless you have already had the chemo and radiation and it failed, and then you're allowed to do some of the other treatments. But I wanted to call attention to people, you know, that our rights as human beings to be able to enhance our health, perhaps cure, perhaps prevent, perhaps at least have a pleasant death or a peaceful death, that right has been taken away from us, and that I think as human beings we should have free will to do whatever we need to do for our bodies. Now, that doesn't
Absolutely.
Mean that, yeah. Of course, I mean, I'm not saying there's no value to child protective agencies. They certainly are important, and many of the people in them, you know, are caring, compassionate people, but maybe they've overstepped their boundaries. It needs
yes.
to be a case-by-case situation.
We've come right up on the break. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Donna Corso. We'll continue this conversation right after this.
To the Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been there, done that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for the Sandy Brewer Show.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to The Michelle Bond Show, Awaken to a New Reality, each Tuesday on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern for leading edge, empowering knowledge and information, which gives hope to everyone from the healthy to the health challenged, and learn the latest complementary and alternative healing modalities. This new reality will introduce you to an unlimited world of possibilities with the gumption to take epic action for your life. Visit TheMichelleBondShow.com and step into your new reality.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. There's a party going on right here. Thanks to Chrissy in the studio for the happy music that keeps me dancing in my chair. I hope you're dancing too wherever you are today. My guest on today's show is Donna Corso, and her new book is When the Wind Chimes Chime. We're talking about dignity at the end of life, about choices, about options, about how we can release that fear of death. Now, Donna, when Andreas's family was given that ultimatum by the doctors, you will have these extreme treatments done, and if you don't agree to them, we will call CPS, have the child taken away from you, and then inflict those treatments on the child. One of the things that Andreas's father, Gordy, did was take him out of the country, right?
Right. They tried to go along with the doctor's protocol for a while, but so many of the appointments were dropped and so many things were missed in interpreting the tests and everything. They had so many mistakes, and they finally just gave up, said, this is it. So the decision was made because Gordy had a connection with someone who had a connection with a medical doctor in China, in Beijing, who agreed to work with Andreas. He was a medical doctor, but he used also Chinese herbs and Qigong, and he said he would do this for free if they could get Andreas over there. And this was right around Christmas time, so Joey and the other two children stayed home while Gordy and Andreas, very quietly under the radar, left the country. And interestingly, as they were in the airplane and it was banking, taking out of the airport, he looked right down at the very medical center that they were told they had to check into at that very time, 10 o'clock in the morning, or he would be taken and made ward of the state.
Wow.
So they got out just in time. They made it to Beijing, and the doctor met them at the airport. The next morning, the doctor met with them, and he had two Qigong masters with him. Now, these were very old men. They were men that lived far away from the city and didn't usually come into the city, but they heard about this little American boy who was coming. And this doctor, by the way, had healed many people, Americans, of many supposedly incurable things. So anyway, the doctor and the Qigong masters, who came from a 6,000-year lineage of Qigong masters, by the way, so they really know what they're doing, they gathered around Andreas, and they said some things in Chinese and did some things, and a few minutes later they left. They bowed to him, and they left. So Gordy went over to the interpreter and said, well, what did they say? Can they help him? And the interpreter said, these men have identified your son as a very ancient soul, and this disease that he has is his soul's way of leaving this planet. They said that neither your Western invasive medicine nor our Eastern Qigong and herbs can make this soul stay. This is his path. And they also told Gordy that Andreas is the teacher. You need to pay attention to anything he says because you are the student here. So it was really clear that this was Andreas's journey. And I think because he was a very wise child, I think on some level he understood that, but he probably wasn't really afraid of dying. Children usually aren't. So anyway, they did stay in China for the full month because that's what they had already planned. They also knew that if they came back into this country, they would once again be pursued by the Child Protective Services because they kept threatening the family. Every time they could catch up with them, they threatened them. They also threatened to take their other two children and make them ward of the state. The reason being that because they were not going to go along with the doctor's orders, that meant that they were negligent parents, which, of course, was not true. These are very loving, compassionate parents.
This is very difficult because Child Protective Services can play a wonderful role in helping protect children who are in danger, who are in situations where they're being neglected. And you share an incident in the book where a Child Protective Services officer does come to their home and agrees to kind of cut them a little slack, agrees to not only acknowledges the power that CPS has, but agrees that in this case, he's going to kind of cut them a little slack. And is I'm remembering that correctly, right?
Well, he was personable and they seemed to have a good rapport with him. And he did seem a little more compassionate than the others, but he did tell Gordy and Joey that, you know, if Child Protective Services finds, I think the way he said it was, finds even a rat turd in your cupboard, they can call you negligent parents. So he wasn't necessarily cutting any slack on behalf of Child Protective Services, but I think in his heart he did understand the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But they were still under surveillance, I'm sure, and they did do some other kinds of treatments or try to get other kinds of treatments that would help him, natural things, but by that time it had already spread too far. It was too late. Maybe if they had had access to more natural things right in the beginning, in addition to going to regular doctors, if they could have included natural things, maybe there would have been some hope for him, but you go into fear when your child is given a prognosis like that. You're going to pretty much go along with the doctor until it reaches a point where you just know that this is not the right thing.
Mm. Can you tell me a little bit about the end of Andreas's physical life here, and especially what When the Wind Chimes Chime comes from? What's the significance of that?
Yes, those were his very last words. They had taken him to another state, and I don't allude to the state that they lived in the book, and I don't want to do that, but they took him to another state all the way across the country for another kind of treatment. And while he was there, he was just so near the end that they had to take him to a hospital, and he was really too severely ill to even be flown back to his home. To his home state, unless they could get a Learjet, and that was going to cost many, many, many thousands of dollars. But finally, some people came together and sponsored that. A Learjet with the equipment flew Andreas and his parents all the way back to their home state, and they got off the plane. They thought hospice would have their house set up but it wasn't. So he ended up going back into the same hospital again. But by that time, he was just a few days from the end, so they didn't bother him anymore. But he was lying in the hospital. He had an oxygen mask on, and he reached up and took his own oxygen mask off. Now, Gordy and the parents were both there in the room, and Gordy rushed over to the bedside to put the oxygen mask on Andreas' face. And Andreas took his daddy's hand and said, turn off my lungs, in a very weak way, of course. And anyway, he said it again, turn off my lungs. And so they allowed him to just keep his oxygen mask off. He seemed to be more restful at that time, and he lived only another few minutes. And as he was leaving his body, Gordy was very close to him, and he heard him say, when the wind chimes chime. Now, I asked Gordy, what do you think he meant by that? And Gordy says, well, I've always felt that he was saying that when you hear wind chimes, you'll know that I'm near you. And it could be that that's true. I don't know. But I always remembered that another author, Danian Brinkley, you may have heard of him.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
He wrote Saved by the Light and some other books many years ago, and he was clinically dead for 28 minutes, actually on a gurney headed for the hospital basement. You know, they had a sheet over him when someone realized he had come back into his body. And so his books are all on his near-death experiences, or actual death experiences that he came back from. And I remembered in his books he always talked about hearing wind chimes as he was going through that tunnel. There's apparently a tunnel that connects our physical life with the next dimension, a tunnel of light, if you will. Mm-hmm. And he always heard wind chimes. And so I had a conversation with Danny, and he feels that Andreas was already entering that tunnel. And when you enter the tunnel, he said, your vibration or your frequency is acclimating to the frequency in that tunnel, and most people hear some kind of sound, like music. Some people might hear celestial music. For Danny, it was always like wind chimes. So he feels that the reason Andreas took his oxygen mask off was because he understood that his breath is what was holding him in life, into his body. And then when he was entering the tunnel, he was hearing the wind chimes. And so I thought it was a good title for a book, too. It
is.
I thank Andreas for that title.
It's a wonderful title for a book, and it's a reminder. I mean, I say all the time on this show that time and distance are no barrier to energy. I really believe that we can't destroy energy. We can't be destroyed as souls. We just change form. And wind chimes are a wonderful way of, that's an object that just can be moved by the wind, can be moved by something unseen, and yet make a sound that we here in the physical can take in as an acknowledgement. And sometimes that's an acknowledgement that our loved ones in spirit are with us, and sometimes it's an acknowledgement that maybe we are more, we need to pay attention to more than what's going on in the physical world. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, and my guest is Donna Corso. When we come back, Donna, I'd love to talk with you about our fear of death and why we hold on to that so much, and how we can make choices, improve our options so that when it comes down to the end of our life, we can feel like we have more control. I'm somebody personally who has had a lot of, I've put in a lot of hospital time, had a lot of medical intervention in my life. And I know that sometimes that medical system, which I think is designed to preserve life, sometimes tries to do that at the expense of the quality of life of the person who is nearing the end of that time. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, and we'll be right back after this.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
Transform your life.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest is author and healer Donna Corso. Her new book is When the Wind Chimes Chime, and we're talking about releasing the fear of death, about making changes in our end-of-life choices to help us be more empowered, to help us live and leave our bodies with more dignity. Donna's website is donnacorso.com, and if you head over there right now, you will see an option to buy the book. Click on that. You can get more information about the book. There's also, if you buy that book on Amazon.com or on Barnes & Noble, you can enter your receipt right in there, and there's all kinds of free gifts. That's right, Donna, isn't there? There's a bonanza of goodness for people who buy the book.
Yes, there are some free gifts from Neil Donald Walsh, Barbara Marks Hubbard, ShirleyMcLean.com, Lynn Andrews, and a few others. And, yep, go there and buy it.
Go now. Buy the book.
Yeah.
As we were talking in the first half hour here about Andreas, his story, his family story, I was really struck by how a system that is set up to be healing, that is set up to be caring, in this case felt very oppressive. It felt very arbitrary. It felt very cruel. And I'm wondering, and as I said, I've certainly spent put in my time with hospitals and surgery and all that stuff. What can we as people do? How can we change those laws? Is there any power that we have? What kind of things can we do to make a difference?
Well, I think our whole society has become really out of balance around the issue of death, because decades ago, you know, the life expectancy, of course, wasn't as long, but death seemed to be more acceptable back then. Nowadays, it's acceptable when we go to movies and watch death, you know, on the screen, or read the tabloids and everything about horrible deaths, but we don't want to accept the fact that it's going to happen to all of us. I look at the life expectancy now. You know, we have so many mechanisms, we have technologies that can keep people alive way beyond any quality of life and way beyond their desire to live. We have 90-some-year-old people who really want to die, and yet, someone will call 911 and they will resuscitate them and bring them back when they could have had a very peaceful way of passing. It's gotten just kind of crazy, and I think that we need to really take a look at that and understand that death is really just a natural part of the life cycle. First of all, though, I think if we were empowered to be healthy in the first place, we could prevent a lot of the ways that we are dying. And we're not even, some of that is against the law, you know, about the nutritional products, that they don't want us to really be healthy because disease is what sells in this country. So mm-hmm. We just have so few choices, but if we take our power back and make sure that we know how to stay healthy, and if we do get a disease, make sure that we know healthy ways that we can heal ourselves if possible, and using the medical industry, the medical community, as a last resort. Once we go to them, we're at their mercy. As far as how we die, there's a wonderful, wonderful organization that I like to plug, and that's called Compassion and Choices. And you can go to compassionandchoices.org, and you can read all about them and all the stories, people who have sent in their testimonials about how their loved one was able to have a really beautiful death instead of a horrible one that they would have had. And this is an organization, it's a nonprofit organization, and they go around helping the various states to pass the laws that make it legal so that if a person is nearing the end of life and under certain circumstances, that they would be able to ask their physician for a prescription that would help them to just leave easily. Now, that's not the same as suicide. A lot of people confuse that, and that's really not even a word that we use with that. It's aid in dying or death with dignity. And there are 4 states that already have passed the legislation for that. Mm-hmm. And Oregon was the first in 94. Washington followed in 2008. And in those 2 states, it was actually a ballot initiative, a ballot measure. So the citizens voted on it that they wanted it. It was challenged in Oregon a couple times, but the Supreme Court upheld it. So that means that in these 2 states, the doctors who wish to participate, if they have it has to be a mentally competent person, and there's a lot of screening, they have a lot of interviews, they have to be over a certain age. I not sure if it's 18, but they have to be an adult. They have to live in that state. They have to be terminally ill with a six-month or less prognosis and be totally competent. And they have to say to their doctor, you know, when the time comes, if I am in so much pain and I can't even express myself, I want this option to be mm-hmm. able to take something that would just help me go to sleep and leave. Mm-hmm. And in Vermont, it just passed in May in Vermont. Only in Vermont, they passed it through the legislature, and that's a first. Montana passed it through a court case, Baxter versus Montana, a man who had leukemia and wanted that. So anyway, those are the four states so far, but there are other states, many other states that are in process and working with this organization, Compassion and Choices, because, you know, we should be able to decide whether we want to die a horrible, miserable death. And there are some people that say that really they have a religious conviction that suffering is good and mm-hmm. that somehow that's the way mankind should be. And I'm not trying to take that belief system away from those people, but I also think that that belief system should not be forced on other people who don't believe that way and who feel that if they're going to die a beautiful, peaceful death would be their choice.
Mm. And it sounds like you're talking about before the need arises to make sure that your loved ones know what you want. I know from my own experience the importance of appointing a patient advocate, the importance of having in writing, here is the person who I trust to make medical decisions for me, and then have that discussion with that person. When we get down to the end here, when it gets scary here, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to go.
Absolutely. It's important that we all have an advance directive. Even younger people, even though they think they don't need that until they're older, I think it's really important, you know, look at, what was it, Terry Schiavo, people like, or some, well, whatever her last name was, I can't think right. of right now, but, you know, people, young people, things can happen too, and they might be kept on life support forever. So it's really important for everyone to have an advance directive and to let their loved ones know what their choices would be, and also to have what I call an anamkara, which is, I think, a Celtic word that means a spiritual midwife, if you will, or a friend. If you know that you're dying, it's important to have someone with you that will, for one thing, give you permission. It's really difficult when someone is dying if the family is in such pain that they are crying and begging the person not to die. Sometimes that person will hang on longer than they want to, just because of the family. I was watching a documentary not too long ago about following some people in their last weeks of life, and there was one father of a 19-year-old who was dying, and she knew that her father was so upset about it that she didn't let go. And so hospice people talked to her father and convinced him, you know, that he really needed to do his grieving in a way that she would not be affected by it. And so he finally came to a point where he could hold her in his arms and tell her he loved her and tell her it was okay for her to go, that he would be okay. And as he was holding her, she died. And he thought it was the most beautiful experience of his life, you know. So he feared it for so long. We fear, I guess, because we really don't know for sure what's going to happen. But, you know, it's a part of the natural cycle. So it really can't be something that we fear.
You had talked about Danion Brinkley and his stories of now more than once, if I'm remembering correctly, where he has been declared dead and has come back.
Yeah.
The idea that there is a common experience that we face as we leave the physical body, does that suggest that people who have those religious beliefs will, and those who maybe don't share those beliefs, do we all have the same experience from what you know?
Well, of course, no one knows for sure. I can only guess, but I would say we're all spiritual beings. We all have different belief systems, different religions. I feel that we're actually creating our immediately after death experience. We're creating it right now. And so if people have a particular belief system, I believe they're probably going to experience that. So even Neil says that in some of his books, if someone is a Christian and they die and they expect to meet Jesus, they probably will. If someone expects to meet Moses or Muhammad, they probably will. Because I think that the experience is going to be something that we will interpret in our own way according to our belief system. I feel that everyone, I don't believe in hell, for one thing. I think we might have an experience if we've created an experience of darkness in our life, if we've lived a horrible life. You know, my personal feeling is that once we cross over, it may not be real pleasant at first, but all we have to do is be willing for it to go into the light, and then we will. I think ultimately everyone will go into the light. So it's hard to tell. I'll let you know. When I get there, I'll come back. I'll haunt you.
You may haunt me anytime. How do you think our loved ones in spirit do communicate?
Oh, in many ways. And some people are more in tune with that. Some people, of course, are clairaudient or clairvoyant and all that. I'm not usually, but I do know that they are around me at times. And yet, at the same time, I kind of don't believe that I want to hold on to them, because if we are too attached to those who have died, that might hold them back, in my opinion. And this is just my belief. I think it's important to let them go on. I think I think there are people who die who don't know they're dead and maybe stick around longer than they should because they don't know they're dead and they're attached to something here.
Yes.
And so that's another part of the work that I do, you know, just myself. I do personal, not in person with people, but on another level, is to release those entities into the light so that they can move on. I don't believe in holding on to people, but they're there if we really need them. I think our parents or, you know, whoever we were really close to are always going to be there to guide us when we need them.
I agree.
Think it's important also to let them go.
I agree. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Donna Corso. We'll be right back after this.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change. Change, change, change. Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Come alive and shine with the Alive and Shine radio show with Adil and Savitri. Widen your perspective, learn to heal yourself, and clarify your power of choice so that you feel truly alive and shine. The Alive and Shine radio show is your how-to guide for creating a life in which your dreams come true. Listen live each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW or at aliveandshineshow.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
Are you a health-conscious, spiritual woman who is just tired of struggling with food obsession, emotional eating, and constantly having to struggle with weight and food? You aren't alone. The secret is within us, often in releasing internal resistance and blocks to our own success. To learn how to end the war with food and your body now and find peace, go to eatlikeagoddess.com for your free audio. Break free from food obsession and lose weight without trying. That is eatlikeagoddess.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk. Talk Radio.
Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio.
The Awakening Radio with Patricia. This hit show awakens your dormant, divine, feminine energy. The Awakening Show is the next step on your evolutionary journey through life. Get ready to awaken the dormant seedings within you, your soul's encodement, power, and purpose, and bring this forward with confidence and clarity through the power of your own voice. This show promises to boldly go where you've been before. You just need to remember. Be inspired. Become rewired with The Awakening Radio. Visit awakeningradio.com for weekly topics.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest is author and healer Donna Corso. Her new book is When the Wind Chimes Chime. You can get more information about the book, about Donna, everything else at donnacorso.com. That's Donna Corso, C-O-R-S-O.com. Donna, we've been talking a lot about our fear and how our fear of death may cause us to use different mechanisms, may cause us to take a healing system and kind of twist it into something that feels oppressive or arbitrary. It may keep us holding on past the time when we should have let go. Can we really, do you think, release our fear of death?
Well, in my opinion, we can, because I've known people who did. You're probably familiar with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and her five stages of mm-hmm. death, or of grieving, I guess it is. But, you know, first denial and anger and bargaining and depression. But eventually, we can come to acceptance. And if you look at nature, nature doesn't try to live past when it's supposed to. You know, the trees don't try to hang on to their leaves in the fall. It's all a natural process. And death of people has been happening for probably a long time. Probably as long as life has existed, death has existed too, and it's not really death. In my opinion, death doesn't exist, because my feeling is the moment we die, we realize there's no such thing as death. We simply are living outside of a body. We don't need a body then. And so knowing that certainly comforts me. I look at it as something to look forward to, not having to hang out in this body anymore. Of course, mm-hmm. you haven't seen my body. You don't know what I'm talking about. but anyway, I think for me, because my belief system is that we come here many times for many purposes, and we live a lifespan that could be a few minutes to a few years to 90 years. It could be a child that lived 7 years, that was how long that child was, that soul was supposed to be here at that time. And so I don't find it fearful. Now, of course, we're going to fear methods of dying. Nobody wants to be, you know, have a violent death. And it's really kind of strange to me that we watch so much violence on TV and then we're afraid of death and dying. Maybe that's why we're mm-hmm. so afraid of it, because we're watching horrible ways of dying. We're not usually watching in our media and our entertainment. We don't usually see beautiful, peaceful dying. We're seeing horrible things.
Right.
So if we could maybe disconnect from some of that media that is just feeding fear, I think there's a big market for fear. And there are perhaps people or beings who would like to keep us in fear, but we have a choice. We don't have to be in fear. We can move away from it and just allow life to unfold and surround ourselves with happy and positive and good things that are going to lead us in a direction where we don't have to have all the fears that we have right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that answered your question.
Well, I think that it does, because part of what keeps us in fear is that we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. What if there was nothing else after this? What if I haven't done enough with my life and I'm taken out of it? What if I'm not living fully on my path? What if I'm not in alignment with my soul purpose? And then, bam, I'm gone. That's scary, right? And I think a lot of people hold that fear.
Right, and that's kind of why I started my book with something called The Soul Plan. Mm-hmm. My book is nonfiction, but The Soul Plan is just a very short intro and at the last part of the book also that I made up, because I believe it's true. Some people may read it if they don't believe in reincarnation, or that there is an agreement, a soul path that we, something we agree to before we come into this lifetime. They may choose to read that as a fairy tale, because I can't tell people how to believe, but my belief is that before we come into life, that we gather together with those in our soul group, and that we all make a plan, depending on what we want to accomplish in each life, or what we feel we still need to learn or remember. And so the little scenario that I made up was, that I believe is true, is that Andreas and his mother and father and two brothers and other family members came together on the other dimension and planned this lifetime. And they agreed to it, and then they came here, and when we come here, we kind of forget what we agreed to.
Yes.
But perhaps they agreed that he would be staying only 7 years, and that his life purpose perhaps had something to do with calling the attention of people to the imbalance that we have in our life around death and dying. I'm hoping that that's part of his legacy. So I believe it is. And he even seemed to know that there would be a book written about him, because one of the quotes I have in there by Andreas was that he wanted his book to help the children of the world, and he wanted to heal the children of the world. He was a very advanced soul, in my opinion, even as a seven-year-old.
Donna, how is his family doing now?
They are doing well. I never met Andreas, by the way, but I know his parents, and they live not too far from me, maybe about a 45-minute drive away. They were the ones that gave me, of course, all of the details of his life. And his father, Gordy, is a certified hypnotherapist, and he does life coaching, and he has created a program which actually is Andreas's legacy, because Andreas loved this program and wanted his daddy to get it out into the world. It's really a children's empowerment program. He has a CD collection where there is music set to 60 beats per minute, and there are positive affirmations that you can hear at first, and then they fade away in the music, and a child can go to sleep every night with those. His idea is, before children get all enmeshed in the video games and the TV, the media, all of that, when they're just very young, even from birth, that you can play these CDs, and it will just sink into their subconscious that they are beautiful, that they are powerful, that they are loved, all the wonderful things that we should be taught from birth, that we shouldn't have to grow up as an adult and then take all these classes and courses about how to be. We should be taught it right from the beginning.
That's right.
And so they're both doing well. Andreas's mother is a massage therapist, and they're doing well. Grieving is, of course, a lifetime process, I'm sure, but they have done a lot of healing work.
Donna, thank you so much for being on the show today. We are right out of time. Thank you for sharing your healing work, which I feel you do through the book, through the information that you're getting out there for people. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me here, Karen.
That's Donna Corso. Her new book is When the Wind Chimes Chime. And if you go over to donnacorso.com, click on Buy the Book at the top of the page, and you'll get details. You can find out a lot more about the book, about her. You'll get details about how, when you purchase the book, you can enter your receipt number from Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and access a whole boatload of great free gifts from people like Neil Donald Walsh, ShirleyMaclaine.com, and a whole bunch of other good folks are there right for you, and that's free. That is all the time that we have for today. Please don't forget that today's the last day for that to enter for the giveaway and the free for a free seat in the healing class that begins on Monday. Today's the last day, so get over to FogCityPsychic.com and click that link, folks. And thank you so much for listening. Together we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.
You've been listening to the hit show, Out of the Fog, with Karen Hager. Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. If you're looking for compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive guidance, visit FogCityPsychic.com today to book your session with Karen. If you've missed any part of this amazing show, go to FogCityPsychic.com for your free download. See you next week.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.